once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the wonderful island nation of Sri Lanka. Yes, God calls things that are not as though they were. You know, hey, no, I'm just kidding. Well, kind of. You know, sometimes the places that we're in, everybody faces trouble, everybody faces trial, everybody faces difficulties, struggles, heartaches, heartbreaks. Yes, it's all part and parcel. Par for the course, if you would. You know, I had somebody, a new person, write in the other day and asked us, you know, what is Faith Mix all about? You know, who are we? Are we trying to figure out who we are, what we're about, what are we doing? What's the reason for this? And, you know, hey, this just, it is what it is. You know, we started it the way that God told us to, which was just, you know, put this up, put it out. And we just post as God gives us something to give. And that's it. That's really all it is. So, you know, it may grow into something more. It may stay just like it is. We may shut it down. We don't know. So we don't have a 5-year plan for this thing. What we do have is the Spirit of God prompting us to do certain things. And when He does, we put it out and we just do it and we let it be what it is. That's all we know how to do. So, yeah, that's what Faith Mix is. There's a few of us. It's a nice little team. Brothers in Christ, we've been together for very, very long time. I mean, when we say brothers in Christ, we mean that. It's not just a statement. It's actually, these are people that their hearts are bonded together. They literally are, and they literally are family. Okay. One time, a friend of mine was saying this: the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the blood is in the Spirit, and the life of the Spirit is in the name. I really appreciated that progression when he was talking about that. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the blood is in the Spirit. The life of the Spirit is in the name. So, you know, when a person's spirit leaves them, it doesn't matter if they've got blood in their body or not, that there's no life in that blood. So, you know, and the life of the Spirit is in the name of Jesus, which is the name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses that He indeed is Lord. Lord of all, Lord over all, Lord in all, Lord through all. Jesus Christ is Lord. So when we talk about brothers in Christ, we're talking about brothers that are bound in the highest, connection that you could possibly have, which is in the name. You know, the strongest connection that you can have with a person is in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, sometimes people think, you know, you can have all these kind of connections through all kinds of stuff, through associations, through affiliations, through sex, through different types of, you know, whatever. They marry it, they buy it, they, you know, the strongest connection that you will ever have with a person will be in the name of Jesus. Because there, and in that name, there is peace, because He is the Prince of Peace. So the connections that you have with brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, those are connections that are peaceful. Yeah, you know, we get issues that come up and things that here and there. But at the core of it, you know that that is a person that loves God, your brother and your sister in Christ. So, yeah. Let's see. You know, I apologize for, I know there's some of you that have written in for the first time. We've read them, absolutely. We've read them. We've even, you know, as a team, been really encouraged. But we've not been able to get back to everybody right away. And so we apologize for that. But, you know, hey, it's really encouraging to be getting letters from, emails from around the world, literally all over the entire world, that people are writing in and sharing their thoughts, sharing their hearts, sharing what it is that God's doing with them. And, you know, I think one reason why that's really encouraging for us is, you know, this journey, if you're a true follower of Christ, this journey can be very lonely sometimes. It can. And sometimes you feel like you're the only one out there. You know, Elijah, that whole struggle that he had, where he said, Lord, God, you know, they've killed your prophets. You know, they've torn down your altars. I'm the only one left. And what did God say to Elijah? I've reserved for myself 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And you know, that's what God does. You know, that's what he always keeps for himself, a remnant. And sometimes the remnant, you may not feel that great about it. You may not be that happy about the fact that, you know, it feels lonely. But look, you're not alone. The truth of it is, you're not alone. And he's got his people out there. And at God's time and God's way, he will refresh your spirit. He will restore your soul. He will grant you peace when and where you need peace. You're not going to have to worry about that. You know, I mean, the things that God isolates us into sometimes, those are for purposes that you and I, we don't necessarily truly understand them, but he knows what he's doing. You know, I look at my last year, me particularly, this has been, you know, in a different way, a really tough year. You know, sometimes you can be taxed physically. Sometimes you can be taxed mentally, sometimes emotionally or spiritually, or you know, you can go through, and I think God allows us to go through these different things as refining processes for, you know, what it is that he would make out of us. But in its own way, you know, this last year has been difficult. Would I trade it? No, I would not. Would I trade the difficulties, the struggles, the trials, the things that I've had to go through? Absolutely not. You know, because, I mean, even as I'm talking to you, and as God's Spirit has given me what to say, I look at it and I realize how much I've learned, how much I've grown. You grow through trial. You grow through adversity. You grow through the things that you have to overcome. You know, brother in Christ, one time I was talking about, he said, you know, in this life it's not important what you accomplish, it's important what you overcome. You know, to that effect. I thought that was powerful too. You know, it's not important what we accomplish, it's important what we overcome. Because, you know, we all have to overcome. That is the, that is the call for the follower of Christ. You know, you go to Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, and, you know, different people, as they comment on, you know, those chapters, they talk about, you know, the, some people think there's seven church ages, you know, and then others is just to the seven churches, you know, in, at the very start. And then, you know, other people, you know, maybe it's both, whatever. But here's, you know, some people say it's a type of individual. You know, the Bible is a living, breathing book. So for me, I enjoy the fact that it's always speaking to me. But, you know, within that one thing that you know, whether it's individual churches, whether it's speaking about the individual, whether it's different church ages, whatever it may be, one thing that you know for certain is that God's instruction to everyone, every one of them, was to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. You know, and that is the call And you know, here's the other part about that too, is the only way that you and I will overcome is if we remain in Christ Jesus and His words remain in us. Because we live an overcoming life because of Him. Jesus said, He said, in this world you'll have trouble. End of John 16. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. Take heart. Be encouraged. You know, another thing too, you know what's amazing to me is how often, you know, whenever God gives me, you know, the prompting to speak, how He brings the scriptures back. But boy, I tell you, you know, that I have not, and this is, you know, personally, you know, this is just an area where I'd like to be a little better at, but I've not been able to spend that time in the Word like I enjoy, like I, you know, would love to do, just because of the circumstances that I've been in recently. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is a reminder. And when you put that in, it'll always come back to you. When you put that in, you know, God will always bring it back to your remembrance. Because He loves us, and He knows what we need. And the things that we face, when that Word has been sown in your heart and in your life, the Spirit of truth will lead and guide you into all truth. So, hey, you know, it's interesting. I there was a recent audio, you know, recorded. Usually I put up whatever it is that God gives me, but I don't know if I'm going to post that last one. Simply because, you know, I kind of, you know, sometimes some things that God has to be said, sometimes I feel like they're just, it's even for us. And so anyways, what you know is whatever it is that we put out, you know, that's what it is that we feel strongly that God has for us to move forward with. Yes, we're in our own process. We're in our own progression. We're in our own journey as well. I will be the first to proclaim openly from the mountaintops that we have not arrived. Yes, we are made right in Christ Jesus. Yes, we are redeemed, saved by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, we are indeed His children, called according to His purpose. Have we arrived? No. In the sense that, yes, in the realm of spirit, it's done. It is finished. In the natural, in the lives that we have to go through here, God is doing a refining work in us. He is accomplishing a purpose in us. And it is painful.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's painful. It's painful on a number of levels. It's painful personally. It's painful professionally. It is painful in the relationships that we'll have. Because, you know, the Spirit comes in and, you know, He brings a sword. You know, Jesus, you know, at the same time we talk about Him being the Prince of Peace, and He also said, you know, people think I came to bring peace? You know, I brought a sword. Divide soul and spirit. You know, the enemies of a man will be the members of his own household. And, you know, when you look at that, when I look at that, I mean, that's what happens when, in the realm of spirit, when somebody comes to Christ, wow. You know, it has this way of, when somebody comes to Christ, it's got a way of, you know, bringing a separation between who you were and who you are. And all that you once were, all of a sudden it flips. Because when you go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, things change. Think about Paul's experience. Saul, who later became Paul. The very people that were supporting him before became the ones that wanted to kill him. You know, and he had to be lowered down out of the city in a basket. He had to be evacuated. And it took a little while. I mean, and also, you know, even the early church, they took a little while till they accepted him. They were nervous that he was playing a trick or trying to infiltrate. So, you know, Saul, who became Paul, he, you know, he realized the difference between being one who was on the side of darkness. From, and Acts 26 talks about it, you know, taken from the power of Satan unto God, from dark to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. And, you know, so he knew what that transition was and what that transition cost him. But he found that pearl of greatest price. He found the redemption of his soul. And when he found that, he didn't want to turn back on that. See, when somebody finds Christ for real, not religion, but when they find the true living Christ, they don't want anything else. You know, they don't want anything else. So, you know, this this life, it's an incredible journey. It's an incredible journey. And yes, it is not meant to be easy. It's not easy, and it was not meant to be easy. Hear me out. I know. See, I think about Jesus, right? When he came into this life, what was he coming into? Was he born in a king's palace? No, he was born in a manger. Was he given every entitlement and every opportunity from the very start? No. You know, I mean, he was born with a strike against him. I mean, the armies of the enemy were hunting him, you know, at 2 years old. So, you know, I just, you know, one thing I do is to try to, you know, read the Word a bit more. Is I do listen to, like, audio Bibles and stuff. It's a super way to get some Word. And I was listening to it this morning. And just, you know, sometimes, too, certain things do strike you. And it just struck me when I was listening to, you know, in Mark, of just how all these guys were looking for some problem with Jesus. You know, the Pharisees, these other people, they're just looking for some problem with Jesus. You know, so heal somebody. He would go and he would heal somebody, restore their life, you know, restore their physical being, do an incredible miracle. This is in the days before, you know, internet and digital graphic effects, all of the drama that people do these days. No, this was, you know, real, right there in front of everybody. He would heal somebody and they would turn around and want to kill him. They would turn around and want to find fault with him. Now, if that's the case, then, you know, I mean, gosh, can you imagine the frustration? You know, can you imagine just the struggle? I mean, you know, this is the Son of God choosing to come here, choosing to put himself out on behalf of an ungrateful people that turn around later and crucify him. I mean, you know, Isaiah talks about him being a man of sorrows, acquainted with sorrow, you know, and that's a huge thing. You know, Jesus knew what it was to have sorrow. He knew what it was to be lonely. He felt that. You know, Jesus felt the press of what it was to be devoid of support, devoid of company. I mean, on the cross when Jesus went, you know, he died alone. You know, I mean, everybody ran away. Everybody ran away, just left him by himself. But he forgave them. Even in his prayer, he said, Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think that's the case for a lot of people. We have to intercede on their behalf, and we have to ask the Father to forgive them, because they really don't know what they're doing. You know, the people that shoot at us, they really don't know what they're doing. The people that come against us, they really don't know what they're doing. Because if they saw the eternal ramifications for their choices and their actions, they would stop. If they knew the consequences for the things that they did, they would cease to do them. They would try to make amends. You know, if people had an eternal perspective, if they could see the big picture, it would greatly impact and influence their lives and their decisions. Okay. For example, let me give you an example. For example, if you knew that there was going to be a nuclear holocaust in the city that you lived in 30 days from now, if you knew that, how would you live? What would you do differently? I'm not saying there will be. This is not some kind of prophetic word or anything. I'm just throwing a question out there. How would you live? What would you do differently? Would you live differently than you're living right now? You know, I imagine that all of us, our priorities would be a little bit different. The things that we think are important would cease to be important. And then the things that we feel are unimportant, or maybe we know they're important but we just don't give them the time, we would make the time for them. We would make the time for them. Why? Because we know what's truly important in the core of our beings, especially as followers of Christ. We know what it is that is in our hearts to do, to think, to say, to be. And it's usually crisis that, you know, results in us wanting to do certain things, wanting to act a particular way. But, you know, if you saw and you knew the bigger picture, it would impact your behavior. It would impact your life. And that's why, too, what God does with Christ Jesus, he gives us the bigger picture. Excuse me. He gives us the bigger picture. Appointed unto every man is a time to die. And then the judgment. You know, that is part of the bigger picture. Everybody leaves this life. You know, you and I, we leave this life. So, because that's the case, how now will you and I live? How will we conduct our affairs? What will be our priorities for the window of time that we're here? You know, it starts to become much more clear what should be done. Because if you know that you're not sticking around, and that your life is under a microscope, and you know that everything's going to be brought against you, and you know, you would live differently. So, you know, when you have the big picture in mind, when you have the big picture in your heart, you see this life, this world, the challenges, everything else in a different way. You know, I used to live in some pretty crazy places where I did some of my work a few years back. I used to work in disaster management. And, you know, one thing that was interesting about that work was, you know, when your assignments were done, you would, when you left those places, yeah, you were impacted by the experiences that you had, but it didn't have a hold on you anymore, in the sense that you didn't have, it didn't have a hold on you anymore, in the sense that you didn't have to, you weren't there anymore. You had the residuals of the experience, but you had come through that. And if you did your work right, people's lives would have been better. But, you know, for us, you know, this life, the things that we face, you know, as we go through this world and everything that we struggle with and are challenged with, we don't stay here. We don't remain here. We don't live here forever. This world and all that we face is just for a period of time. The challenges of life, they're just for a window of time. And when this life is over, you can breathe easy. But you know, you can live in peace now as well. You can. You can live in peace. You can know that, you know, He is taking care of you. And that, you know, with the things that you face, He's just allowing those experiences because they're building something into you. They're doing something with you. You know, the experiences that we face, they're really doing something with us. They're forcing something with us. They're creating and they're refining something with us. You know, I know that as tough as certain experiences in life have been, I am also really, really grateful for them because they've taught me a lot. I've learned a lot. I've experienced a lot. I wouldn't be, you know, where I am today in as far as life goes, experiences go, personal fulfillment goes, all of that. I wouldn't, unless God had led the way. And I remember the part of my life where God, you know, asked me and I let Him take over the reins. And He's carried me forward ever since. You know, God knows what He's doing with you. He knows what He's doing with you. He knows what He's doing with me. You know, He knows our frame. He knows how we struggle. And that's why, too, He puts strength in us. Strengthen us for the journey at hand. Strengthen us for which we must face because we are His followers. Oh, you know, I tell you what, driving in Sri Lanka, I'll give you a little side note. You know, in the States, you've got that 2-second rule that you should have, which is if you're traveling on the road, you should see, you should leave 2 seconds traveling distance between you and the car in front of you as it's moving. And what that does is that gives you, that protects you from, you know, you're able to stop, you're able to slow down, you're able to turn quickly or swerve, miss something. If anything happens, you know, that gives you ample time. Yeah, you know, this country, Sri Lanka, does not have a 2-second rule. That is trained by the police or anybody else. No, in this country, if you leave 2 seconds between you and the car in front of you, somebody will come and fill up that and push you back if you give another 2 seconds, and then another car will come and push you back further in the traffic line. So, yeah, that's the case. So it's just kind of interesting. A little insight to Sri Lankan driving. What people do, why they do it. Ugh. I tell you, you know, I feel a lot for what's going on in the world right now. You know, on one side, I know the things that God is teaching me, you know, right now will have a greater implication in time to come. But, you know, like I said at the start, it's not easy. You know, these are tough lessons. This is a tough skill development. So, you know, in what you're doing, in how life is shaping up with you, you know, don't lose heart. Don't lose track. Don't lose track of what's important. It can happen. It can happen really easy. You know, you can wake up one day and you'd be like, what happened to me? Part of it is because you lost track of what was important. You know, God doesn't want you to be on the wrong track. He doesn't want you to have a dull shine. You know, He wants you to shine brightly with His presence, with His countenance. He wants, you know, you to always live according to His plan and purpose and experience the benefits of life in Him. Yeah. You know, it's an amazing thing to walk with Him. Because you know what? He calls us into an adventure. He really does. You know, I know sometimes people, they want what's safe. And this is one of the struggles, I think, for people when they come to Christ, is that they have trouble letting go of that that security that they have with the world. You know, a lot of people look to the kingdom for that kind of security. And what did Jesus say about that? He said, look, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our security, our safety, our provision is not in the world. It's not in the world system. It's in the Lord. And God will allow, you know, for certain things to happen to the follower of Christ for the sake of them understanding that their provision is not from the world, but it's from the Lord. He will allow struggles and difficult times in people's lives for them to understand that their life is sustained by the good graces of God. Ah, yes. It's interesting. You know, I tell you, whenever I try to do an audio for this site, I get tired. And you know, I think one of the reasons too is I know that the enemy just attacked me when I try to do this. I think another reason why I think the enemy would like me to not be here anymore. So if I get tired when I sleep, it makes it difficult to drive. Particularly if you're up in the mountains and you are winding, twisting roads, which I'm not at the time, but I've had this experience in the mountains too. You know, God will keep you. God will protect you. So, you know, just focus on that which is at hand. Look to the solution, not the problem. You know, so many people in this life, they look at the problem, they don't look at the solution. But, you know, God wants you to look and see. You know, He wants you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Understand that He's taking care of you. Yeah, you know, in all of this, He's in control. You know, He knows what He's doing with us. He knows what we're facing. He knows what we're up against. And, you know, our role is, you know, we just want to help people that are, you know, seeking Him. And even the ones that have the potential. You know, God intends for us to live an abundant life. Not to just talk about it. Not to just plan for it, but to do it. And the way that you do it is, just do that which is in front of you that God has put in your heart to do. You chase your challenges. You know, you go after that which God is wanting for you. And, you know, God will support, He'll strengthen, He'll chasten, and He'll raise you up in His due time. So no worries. You know, the Father's with us, and, you know, He has us. And it's a good thing to be in under the Lord's protection. It's a great thing to be one of His, especially in this day and age, because you know, the world is getting crazy. As the world gets crazy, and now more than before, the main thing people have always needed to realize is, you know, even as the world gets more and more crazy, the principles of God remain the same. And, you know, as the world gets more difficult, as struggles continue to rise, you know, God wants His people strong and intact. And, you know, He will raise them up accordingly. So, you know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for the work that God is doing in each and every one of us. And we live in the assurance of the promise that He that began a good work in us will carry it on to completion. That God will complete it in you, and God will complete it in me. So, yes. With that, hey, love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. Just know where you are in the world. And you know that you have our prayers and best wishes and our support for whatever it is that you put your hand to. Just do all things that's unto the Lord and trust Him for the glory. Because the glory is His. God will accomplish His purposes in you. So, the glory, He's glorified when you and I obey. He's glorified when you and I overcome. You know, He's glorified when we follow His command, His instruction, and do that which He's told us to do. And you know what? He also is glorified when we do it with a good heart, with the right motive, with the right intention. It says God loves a cheerful giver. Not just a giver, but a cheerful giver. You should enjoy it. You know, if you don't enjoy giving, you should try it sometime. You know what? Seriously, for me, I love to give. It's fun. And it blesses people and helps them and strengthens them. And you know what? When I've also found too, when I'm generous with people, when I give, you know, and I don't give to get, but I certainly do get. Not planning on it, it just comes to me. You know, God does that. He takes care of His people. You know, you're not going to ever lose out by being generous. And there's scriptures that even give promises, you know, about like the man that, you know, lends to the poor and is generous with those that are in need. There's scriptures that promise God's blessing and God's favor on those people's lives. So, you know, in the things that we face, just be at peace. Know that He's in control and know that He's with you. Trust Him and allow Him to carry you through. So God's got you. He's definitely got you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. So hey, with that, we love you. God bless you guys. Hey, drop us an email. faithmix@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Always great to hear from you. So, hey, we'll catch up again soon. God bless you. Bye.